Well, welcome everyone to this week's episode of WA This Week. The first topic I would like to talk about is the spiralling violent crime rate that is occurring in all of Western Australia, in the metropolitan area and especially in the Kimberley area of the state. Since the Labor Party have taken power, we've seen an 18% increase in serious violent crime in Western Australia. In the regional areas, that increased rate is 22%. And if we look at sexual assaults, we've seen an increase of nearly 30% in sexual assaults from 2017 to 2020, and over 10% increase in 2021. Threatening behaviour being reported to the police is increased by 13%. You would have all seen and would have all been appalled by the absolutely violent assault on the two mothers in Northbridge last weekend, something I think that shocked all of us. Again, last weekend, we saw a woman murdered in her home. Now, you know, when you see an increase in violent crime of that rate, that's the time when the government should be doing something, and they should have been doing something before now. What was the response we saw from the police minister, the person with prime responsibility to make sure that they're putting plans in place to deal with violent crime? We saw the police minister this week say it wasn't his responsibility. He said he'd given the police some extra resources, 100 extra officers, and that it was purely the responsibility then of the police commissioner to deal with this. Now, we saw the premier sensibly in a press conference with the police minister when he was saying that. Premier came out and quickly interrupted him and said, look, you know, obviously our government takes responsibility for, you know, for dealing with that issue. But why have we got a police minister, you know, clearly a failed police minister in that position, when he denies that he has any responsibility? Now, we've never said that these issues are simple issues. They're clearly complex issues, and I've said that publicly and in Parliament. But it's the job of that police minister to determine what needs to be done, what extra measures need to be taken. How does he have to work with other ministers and other departments to help solve that problem? You know, when you've got a minister that denies responsibility for one of the most important parts of their job, and that is protecting Western Australians from violent crime, then they shouldn't be in that position. The Premier should move that minister on and put someone in there who could do that job or can do that job competently, because clearly the police minister can't. You know, we saw, I think, a desperate attempt by the police minister to try and distract the community from his complete failure in the area of violent crime by coming out and starting what can only be described as a scare campaign around gun ownership. Now, as part of that scare campaign, the police minister, and the police minister chose to do this himself, the police minister released a map of metropolitan Perth and surrounding areas that had the locations of every gun owner identified dramatically with a gun splatter shot on the page to show that there was significant gun ownership in Western Australia. You know, that should be no surprise to the minister. It's as if the minister suddenly realised there's gun ownership. I mean, the minister has complete access to that information at all times. But releasing that map, we've had a large number of communications with our office, because what people of gun owners have said, these are gun owners, these aren't bikies or criminals, these are people who've got guns, they own them for legitimate purposes, they're licensed. It's all been done under the gun law changes that were brought in by John Howard all those years ago that has seen a dramatic decrease in crime with using guns in Australia. The problem that the people have, those legal gun owners have, is that in a large number of cases, you can actually identify their property. Imagine that. You've got the police minister releasing information that will allow criminals to identify individual properties where people have guns. It's incomprehensible. You've got a minister who says that he's concerned about criminals getting guns, and we're all concerned about criminal getting guns. He puts out a map that then allows criminals to potentially identify properties. And many people have contacted my office and they've said they can identify their property. If they can identify it, criminals can as well. So the police minister's telling criminals where to go to get a gun. You know, if you're concerned about gun crime, and I think we're all concerned about crimes using guns, then let's make sure we target criminals not getting their hands on guns. You don't do that by putting out a map that lets criminals identify houses that have got gun owners. Now, a number of people have contacted the office. They're really concerned. They've gone out now and they've installed security systems, alarm systems and the like, because they're terrified that in fact their property will be targeted by criminals. I mean, this is a disgrace. Now, if the minister's serious about this, then focus on the real issue. You know, criminals don't use licensed weapons by and large. Criminals steal weapons and they otherwise procure weapons illegally. Focus on that and deal with that. You know, if the police and the minister's got evidence that guns that are in private ownership are the major problem and that they're going into criminals' hands, then, you know, then one, produce that evidence and do it. But don't start out a scare campaign purely designed to detract people's attention from your complete failure to deal with violent crime, almost none of it involving guns. So don't try and distract the public from that failure on your part by releasing information that will allow criminals to identify potentially, and in a number of cases, people could identify homes where guns are stored. I mean, you know, this is, as I've said it just earlier in this podcast, and this recording, you know, this is a minister who is a complete failure, and if for no other reason, he should lose his job for this. I mean, this is profoundly wrong, putting other Western Australians at risk of their homes being burgled or attacked by criminals to get weapons from their homes, weapons that they legitimately, you know, own. It is really, really a disturbing failure on the part of the police minister. This week also, we saw what has been titled the Shepherd Report into the power failures over the Christmas New Year period, and more the unreliability of the electricity network right across the southern part of the state, and the dramatic increase in that unreliability since Labor's taken power. And that report identified a couple of areas. Now, you know, we've got an energy minister. He considers himself, you know, a bit superior to everyone else and a bit of an expert in the field, but an energy minister who's overseen a massive decrease in the supply of reliable electricity to houses in Western Australia, and I might say particularly in regional areas. Now, as I pointed out in debate in Parliament this week, we've seen this minister, he loves to get out there and talk about how great he is and how much he knows about the electricity network and how good he is in that field. But in fact, if you look at the data, if you look at the state of the network information that's published by Western Power, what we see is a significant deterioration in the age of critical assets within the power network. Now, there's no doubt that that is a significant contributor to the instability we see in the network. And what we don't see is any meaningful net improvement in the reliability of the network. Now, if Minister Johnson, you know, is the knowledgeable expert that he claims to be, then one, he should be aware that there's no net improvement in the reliability of the network. And two, he should be using his knowledge to guide Western Power, and he can do that, in making sure that the network is improved, that the reliability of the network is improved. And we heard this ridiculous excuse from the minister that we had more hot days this year than previous years, and that was the reason for all of the failures. I mean, what a farce. So you have a system that can withstand a 40 degrees for 3 days, but it can't withstand 40 degrees for 5 days or 6 days. It's clearly a nonsense. The equipment needs to be able to withstand those conditions. It needs to be built for those conditions, maintained in a way that it won't fail when there's hotter weather or there's higher demand. We heard this ridiculous excuse around, you know, that there was increased demand for electricity. Well, there is. On every hot day, we have increased demand for electricity. But the demand on any given day was not greater than we've seen before. We actually have an excess of electricity supply in the southern part of Western Australia. There is no issue with the overall amount of electricity that is available to feed the network. And again, no excuse for saying that oh, well, there was extra demand on those hot days. That's something we see every summer. We also saw the excuse, and it was listed in the report, there's a protocol that Western Power has that if there's a fire ban, they won't re-energise networks that have tripped, or they don't go out and try and repair networks or identify faults if there's a fire ban. Now, you know, and the minister's acting as if this is a surprise. Now, everyone from in Western Power has known that that protocol is a major problem. I've been informed that no other state has a similar protocol to Western Australia. The minister must have known that. In fact, I do know the minister knew that was an issue. He's done nothing about it whatsoever. And that's the reason that the power was on. Not just that sometimes power networks trip, and we understand that, but typically the lines people can go out and identify faults quickly. And in fact, in many cases, they can just re-energise the network and get the network back online. Now, you know, the minister was aware this was a problem. And what did he do? In his 3 years tenure as energy minister and 5 years of Labor being in government, they did nothing at all. And they've come out as if this is a surprise or a shock in this report. You know, it's clearly ridiculous and clearly a failure on the part of Minister Johnson to recognise issues and to make sure that an agency that is his direct responsibility is dealing with those issues. And furthermore, we need to see major improvements in this network. Now, there's a large amount of the government has a very large surplus, but in any case, what we saw was a massive underspend, and this is something the report revealed, a massive underspend in capital expenditure to improve the network, over $300 million that was available to Western Power was not spent. Now, again, if the minister was doing his job and he was on top of his job, he would be aware of that. And he would be saying to Western Power, look, why aren't you spending that money? I note that the overall age of the assets is not improving. Why aren't you doing something about it? You know, you've got a minister that likes to come in and be boastful and use aggression against us, in debate in Parliament and the like. So he's good at putting his energy into that. But why isn't he putting his energy into improving our electricity network? You know, over Christmas, 107,000 people, over that Christmas New Year period, 107,000 people were impacted by those power cuts. Over 26,000 people had power outages for over 12 hours. In fact, for many, it was much longer than that. It was days. And over that period, we had numerous reports. You know, at Christmas time, you stock up, you have all the extra food. People lost, you know, over $1,000, $1,500 worth of food. They had their Christmas and New Year celebrations absolutely ruined, and also were sweltering in the high temperatures over those periods without air conditioning, particularly people who are older, suffer much more in temperature. We heard of numerous examples of pharmacies, but also individuals who'd stocked up medicine because of the COVID period, and they had medicines completely ruined because they couldn't keep them refrigerated. You know, we've seen the ministry came out again. We see this sort of distraction effort. The ministers announced yesterday this increase of the compensation when there is a power failure from $80 to $120. It was completely inadequate. Many people, as I said, lost over $1,000 worth of food, and the compensation was inadequate. The minister needs to step up and start doing his job. You know, it's very important for the people of Western Australia that we have a reliable power system, and at the moment we're seeing a system that is not improving. Look, thanks very much for your attention this week. Look, really appreciate you taking the time to listen. Also, please don't forget you can subscribe to this as a podcast on iTunes, Spotify or Stitcher. And of course, you can see the video on Facebook if you just look up at Dr. David Honey. And otherwise, share with your friends. And as I say, always, please give us your feedback and comments. We're really grateful for the time you take to do that. Thanks very much.